This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala ibadihi alladhina astafa wa ba'd. In the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most gracious, most merciful. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us every form of goodness, mashallah. Honored ulama, beloved brothers and sisters, dearest listeners, mashallah, this evening we have commenced and completed the 21st part of the Quran. Inshallah, from tomorrow evening, there will be several brothers who will be going into i'tikaf, and we make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it is made easy for them, and we ask them also to bear us in their du'as. In the opening verses of the recitation that we commence this evening, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made mention of a very powerful verse that I'm sure a lot of us would know part of it off by heart, because it is repeated every Friday, or almost every Friday. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Read that which has been revealed to you by your Rabb, and establish salah, for definitely the establishment of salah will prohibit immorality and evil. And I'd like to speak about both of these points which are mentioned in this verse. The recitation of the Quran, if we read it properly, and if we try our best to understand the message in the Quran, it will naturally have an impact on our iman, and we will be from amongst those who establish their salah. And if we establish our salah correctly, we should automatically be from amongst those who will be protected from immorality. One might ask, how? It is a very, very big topic. It's a large topic to discuss right now. But the gist of it, salah is 5 times a day. 5 times a day, a Muslim is trained to stand on one spot, discipline. A Muslim is trained to look at one spot, discipline. So naturally, outside salah, if we are trained 5 times a day to look only where Allah has instructed, when we are outside salah, we will only look where Allah has instructed. But if in our salah, there's no concentration and we are gazing this way and that way, a sound is in that direction and we happen to peep, and after a while we look at our clock to see what time it is, then what do we expect with the control of our gaze outside salah? So naturally, we would appreciate the gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, in the masjid, when we are reading our salah, there's nothing haram on the walls, or there is nothing prohibited generally to look at, but within salah, we are instructed not to look anywhere besides the place of prostration. And that is in order, obviously, for concentrational purposes and so on, but together with that, we are disciplining ourselves. The same applies with food and drink. Whilst in salah, we're not allowed to drink, we're not allowed to eat anything. In fact, if there is a piece of food in our mouths, there are rules governing what to do with it. And this would naturally make us from amongst those whom, when we are outside salah, we appreciate what is permissible and we abstain from that which is prohibited. So if we are to establish salah correctly, we will be able to lead our lives in a beautiful manner. A person who is used to getting up for Salatul Fajr, and a person who reads Salatul Isha at night, these two salawat, they'll help us get up early and be punctual. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His divine wisdom, has kept some salawat with a very short time within which we should fulfill them. And others have a slightly broader time. That should make us as Muslims so disciplined that we understand the appointments we have. Sometimes we need to be there ahead of time, on time, and sometimes if it is a friend or someone close to us, we have a leeway within a space of half an hour and so on, we would be making ourselves available for the appointment or what have you. However, when it comes to the Muslimin, And we've got to mention this again. The lesson is for myself as well. We find ourselves the worst when it comes to appointments. If someone who is a Muslim tells you, I'll see you at 9, probably by 10 he's leaving his home. I hope that's not the case in our societies. But generally, we've heard of this type of behavior. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and grant us the improvement in this regard. That would show that we are weak with our salah. Because salah is such that when we hear the adhan, there is a space of time between the adhan and the farad salah getting up. That space of time, we should be making our way to the masjid. We should be preparing for the salah, arrive 5-10 minutes in advance, have a seat and wait, prepare ourselves. Amazing. If that is the case and we do this for every salah, it would be very easy for us to meet any appointment in our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the full benefit of salah, that which is spiritual and that which will help us even through our day-to-day lives. So that is a very powerful verse. It's a topic on its own. I've just mentioned to you the gist of it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of how this world is actually a deception. A lot of people have misunderstood this world. We as Muslimin should understand that the life after death is the eternal life. And this is why we make mention of the definition of death. Some say it's the end of life. But to the Muslimin, it's the beginning of that life which will never end. Death is the beginning of the life that has no death after that. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the understanding of this as well. Allah says, وَمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهُ وَلَعِبَ وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ Allah says, this life of the dunya is nothing but amusement and pastime. And the life after death, that is the real life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us prepare for it. Once there was a man who had described very beautifully saying, that when we are asleep, we feel in our dreams as though we are living reality. But the truth is, when we get up, we realize there was nothing. It was just a dream. One wonders, when we are leading this life, when we actually die, we will wake up to the reality that this life was just a pastime, amusement. Now we are in the real life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. So that also is a verse. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of another very beautiful verse. And it is mentioned twice in the recitation in tonight's verses. Once in this surah, which is the end of Surah Al-Ankabut, the surah of the spider. And the other time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of it in Surah Luqman, in different wordings. Let me give you the message. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ دَعَوُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ Nature of man. When he is in the middle of the ocean, in the ship, he calls out to Allah with full sincerity. Sincerity levels are extremely high, possibly almost 100%. Especially when the boat begins to rock. And when the waves, mashallah, are taking the boat from side to side. And when the captain tells you, look, we are going through lots and lots of turbulence here. We don't know if we're going to make it. And people call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, the levels of sincerity are so high, people start making promises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says, فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ إِذَا هُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ Once we grant them safety and they return back onto the coast, they suddenly begin to forget what they did and said, and they begin to associate partners once again. It reminds me, and I think I say this almost every year, in our times, it reminds me of the turbulence at 37,000 feet above sea level, when the plane begins to really make movements that are increasing the levels of our sincerity automatically, and we begin to say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasul. That shahadas probably come out with the highest levels of sincerity. Alhamdulillah. The idea is, if we can maintain that level of sincerity, at least when we come and have landed safely, come on the earth or on land, alhamdulillah, we will be from amongst the successful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us similar levels of sincerity. And this is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places what we know as problems in our lives, sometimes just for us to turn to Him, to turn to Him in a bigger way than we've ever turned to Him in the past. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a turning point even without those type of problems or difficulties. Then we all know that guidance is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we've heard so many times that if Allah wants to guide a person, nobody will misguide them. And if misguidance is written for someone, nobody's going to guide them. The question is, so who does Allah guide? That's a question. Who does Allah guide? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it in verses here that we read tonight.
وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا.
Those who struggle and strive to achieve our pleasure. Those who struggle and strive towards us, coming to us, for us. We will open the doors of guidance for them. When someone wants guidance, they cannot sit at home and say, Ya Allah, I need guidance. It's in your hands. If you've written guidance for me, take me to the masjid. That's not good enough. We need to make the effort to go to the masjid. We need to make the effort to learn the meanings of the Quran. We need to make an effort to learn what the Sharia is saying and try to put it into practice. Through that effort, Allah will guide us. Alhamdulillah. So this is a very simple answer from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we are ready to sacrifice, we will achieve inshaAllah. The same applies to anything in our lives. Those who are ready to sacrifice will achieve. You have, for example, a businessman working hard morning, evening, then he achieves. But a businessman sitting at home, unless he is one of the lucky ones, he probably won't achieve anything. You have a doctor, mashallah, working from morning to evening, every single day, he will achieve. And he will achieve in a big way. Not only whatever he gets materially, but even the rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for him or for her. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to respect one another, no matter what our field is. We all should be serving Islam in our own way. Remember, this is something that we reiterate and repeat. Every one of us, we need to respect each other in our different fields. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen us to serve the deen in a different way. Even a plumber will serve the Muslimin, even though he might take a salary or he might ask for a payment for what he has done, which he has the right for. Together with that, Allah will reward him for the service provided. Subhanallah. Sometimes we look down upon others and we think that it's only the one who has the knowledge of the deen who will be successful. The answer to that is, yes, we all need to have the knowledge of the deen, but we depend on one another. Allah has created us in that way. Obviously, ultimately, we depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But He has, in order to fulfill our needs, He has created different people through whom He will fulfill our needs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that understanding. Then in Surah Ar-Rum, which is named after the Romans, there are a few verses that I'd like to go through. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about His signs. And I'm sure we heard the verses, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ. From the signs of Allah is that He created you, human beings, from one. And then He scattered you all over the earth. That's a sign of Allah. From the signs of Allah is that He created your spouses from amongst you. And He created love and affection between you automatically. And Allah says, there is a sign for those who would like to ponder. From amongst the signs of Allah is the fact that He has created the skies and the earth, the planets, the various other creatures of Allah. These are the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those with knowledge of that. Then Allah says, from His sign also is your sleep at night. The dreams that you dream, that is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Medicine only knows a little bit about sleep, but it cannot answer many questions about sleep. That is Allah's sign. Imagine a dream. And this is a proper example that we need to think about. A man sleeping next to someone else, for example. Say a man and his wife. The man is having a beautiful dream of heaven and the wife is having a dream of hell. In fact, let's swap it just for interest's sake. The man is having a dream of hell and the woman is having a dream of heaven. But can one feel what the other one is feeling? Yet they are right next to each other. No. And one is sweating and one is actually crying in the sleep and the other one is smiling and laughing. Can one feel what the other one is feeling? No, it's a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us good dreams to protect us from nightmares. This is a sign of Allah. We cannot explain this. Imagine you see things in your dream. Amazing, amazing. Let's ponder over this. Allah says, it's an act of worship to ponder over these signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah says, another sign of Allah is that He has created different languages and tongues for you to communicate with one another. Imagine if we could not speak to one another in a language. What would happen? Only Allah knows. But we have totally different dialects so that we know each other. The minute one opens his mouth, you can tell this person comes from Africa, and you would even guess Southern Africa, and you would even guess Johannesburg. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. That's a gift of Allah. Whereas when someone else opens their mouth, you can say, this person comes from the United States of America. I'm sure we understand that immediately. Subhanallah. That's a gift of Allah. And really we need to think of this. Imagine, at one stage we were one father, one mother, which means Adam and Hawa. What happened? People speak, never mind the dialects of English, but languages that we have no clue, but they understand them. And you make a little bit of an effort, you will also understand it. Amazing. That's the qudra. That's the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the same way we have languages, the other creatures of Allah also communicate within themselves with their own languages that they understand. Sulaiman alayhi salam was given a little bit of that knowledge, but we don't have the knowledge of the language maybe of the ants and the other creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says that also is from amongst His signs. And so many signs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about. He also speaks about the wind that blows, a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how beautifully He puts it, He says, it creates a huge cloud. The cloud brings happiness, and it brings also a little bit of a feeling of worry, a feeling of fear. Because when the cloud, mashallah, is huge and gray, and the lightning strikes, people begin to get worried. When it rains, we make a dua, that, oh Allah, let this be rainfall that will be beneficial. Allahumma sayyiban nafi'an. Oh Allah, let this be rainfall that will be beneficial. And not rainfall that will be destructive. Because we know what's happening now. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help our suffering Muslimin, the brothers and sisters in Pakistan. As we are speaking right now, more than 30% of the country is in water, underwater. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them. What guarantee do we have that those floods will not come to us? May Allah safeguard us. It's only Allah who will hold that back. Really. So Allah says, these are His signs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, do you know that when we have land that has no cultivation on it, nothing at all, dry land, when the water falls on it, suddenly it becomes green. Amazing. This is the example He gives in the Quran. He says, in the same way we will resurrect you after you've died. And this brings me to a very powerful point, and that is, every time the rain of mercy is mentioned in the Quran, and the effect it has on the land, immediately after that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that that's what's going to happen when you will be resurrected one day. Don't think that after you have been decomposed into the earth, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not be able to resurrect you or me. Allah says, we are doing it in front of you on a regular basis. You are witnessing it, you are watching it. Things appear to be absolutely dead. The rain comes and everything turns green. Amazing. If you know the various seasons, as you fly over the country, you see everything is dry. When you fly in the other season, you see everything is green. Who gave that earth life? Allah says, كَذَلِكَ نُخْرِجُ الْمَوْتَى لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. That is the same way we will be taking out the dead and resurrecting them, in order that you may understand, you may take heed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that understanding. So this is also worded in a very beautiful way in the Quran, in Surah Ar-Rum. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the charities that we give. And He says that when a person gives interest to someone else, that is not going to increase the wealth of anybody. It will actually decrease it. But when a person gives a charity in the cause of the Creator, it will be multiplied. Listen to how beautiful the verse is. Allah says, وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن رِّبًا لِّيَرْبُوَ فِي أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ فَلَا يَرْبُو عِندَ اللَّهِ. That interest amount which you give other human beings, in order for it to be increased for either of the parties, it will not be increased in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is detrimental. And Allah says,
وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن زَكَاةٍ تُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُضْعِفُونَ.
That which you give out as zakah, seeking the pleasure of Allah, that is what will be multiplied. 7 times, 70 times, up to 700 times, and even more, depending on your level of sincerity. And this is why the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, the best zakah, the best charity that is given, is that charity that you give when you are fearing poverty. When you think that if I'm going to give this, I might not be able to purchase the house that I was about to purchase. For example, or let's use a smaller example. If I'm going to give this, I might not have enough money for next month.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to give even when we are fearing that poverty.
And this is why the best charity is the charity of a poor person, a beggar. A person who has just received an amount, if he takes a small percentage of it and gives it away, that is a better charity than that whole amount that was given to him. And these are the etiquettes that we are taught. This is the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the best of etiquettes, the best of manners. And may He accept from us the little charities that we give. Remember, a smile on the face is an act of charity. And we will receive a full reward for it. So let's start smiling to one another. I remember mentioning a few days ago in the month of Ramadan, when we smile, we achieve the reward of having fulfilled a compulsory deed. Because it's a sunnah. Sunnah is multiplied in Ramadan. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us break these barriers through smiling. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from us. The next surah is Surah Luqman. And Surah Luqman, the name Luqman, he was a very pious man. Some narrations say he was from Africa. Some other narrations are more precise. They say he was from Sudan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us all wisdom. A very wise man. If Allah has named a whole surah after him, there has to be something special about him. Not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of something very important. The advice he gave his son. And that is mentioned to us because it is valid even in our sharia. It is valid even in our times, though it happened a long, long time ago, even before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in the opening verses of that surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how important it is to abstain from music, musical instruments, those who sing with musical instruments and so on, to abstain from it. And I'm sure verse number 6 of Surah Luqman, a lot of people who've tried to look into it have seen in it. The mufassirin are almost unanimous that it refers to music and musical instruments and those who sing music and so on. If you pick up the Noble Quran, which is in English, the translation, and you read verse number 6 of Surah Luqman, I'm sure in brackets it will give you that explanation. Reason being, the Mufassirin have all given the same explanation. It's important for us to know this, because we should understand we have the Quran, we have the Hadith, we have the Sharia, we have so many teachings that are beautiful. Why should we substitute this with that which is futile? That which is not going to benefit us, in fact, it will only harm us. Like I said a few weeks back, if a person listens to music and enjoys the lyrics, they are insulting the Quran, because they've substituted the Quran with something else. The Quran, so many different types of reciters, that's a miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of us like a soothing recitation, it's there. Some like a loud recitation, it's there. Some like a soft recitation, it's there. So whatever we'd like, whatever type of voice we'd like, wallahi, there are certain websites on the internet which have more than 200 to 300 different reciters from across the globe. When in the history of the globe did we have such a gift? Touch of the button and we can hear a voice that we love. It will soothe us. The words of Allah are far more greater than anyone else's words. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the advice of Luqman to his son. First thing he says, Ya bunayya la tushrik billah. Oh my son, don't associate partners with Allah. Because associating partnership with Allah is the greatest oppression. The greatest oppression. And after that he speaks about how important it is to respect your parents. To the degree, and it's mentioned here, that even if your parents are not Muslims, we need to respect them, fulfill their rights. They are still our parents. Allah chose them for us to come into existence. But whenever they instruct you to do something prohibited, that is when you excuse yourself with respect.
That's what the Quran says. And you still continue fulfilling their rights. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for those who've turned to Islam whose parents are not Muslims. And for those who are Muslims whose parents instruct them to do that which is haram. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correct all of us. And may He grant us the ability to correct ourselves. So then Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam continues and he says, Oh my son, ya bunayya. Look at how he addresses his son. Bunay is the Arabic language for the height of love when addressing a son. Ya bunayya, oh my beloved little son. That's how we'd word it. Imagine the wording. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this man from Africa using such wording with his own son, and we are learning a lesson from it. How many of us address our children with that much love? It's time for us to reflect, to ponder, to take account. Let's change the way we've been addressing them, if we've been rude and if we've been bad. And let's try and address them in a more affectionate way. That affection itself will already solve so many problems within the home. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Luqman alayhi salam told his son that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows absolutely everything. Even if there is a mustard seed, a little atom under the rocks in the darkest corners of the night, Allah knows where it is, He knows what it is, He has absolute total control over everything in its regard. So don't ever think you will get away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like a verse that we read in Surah Al-Ahzab this evening, Allah says, قُلْ لَنْ يَنْفَعَكُمُ الْفِرَارُ إِنْ فَرَرْتُمْ مِنَ الْمَوْتِ أَوِ الْقَتْلِ. Say, you will never be able to run away from death or from a battle. If Allah wants you to be there, you will be there. When Allah's written something for you, it will happen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is also telling us that you can't run away from Allah. The other day we described the day of Qiyamah. People will be running left, right and center. Wherever they go, they caught. You go left, you caught. Right, caught. In front, caught. Behind, caught. Where else are we going to go? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us make peace with Him. By adopting His commands, we have no way out. No way out. And this is why the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, some people worship Allah out of fear for the punishment. And some worship Allah out of hope in heaven. And some worship Allah out of love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those are the highest. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us worship Him with any one of those three. But we need a starting point. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of how important it is. And this is obviously Luqman alayhi salam's advice. To abstain from pride and arrogance. To walk with humility. And we've spoken about that. But this advice is repeated again and again in the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, even when you're speaking, don't scream, don't shout. And address people with respect. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us address one another with utmost respect and dignity. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really make others also address us with similar respect. Remember, kama tadinu tudan, as you treat others, so you shall be treated. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really grant us goodness in this regard. We have another surah which we read tonight, which I'm sure a lot of us would be knowing almost off by heart, if not off by heart. That is Surah Sajda. I'd like to make mention of the Sajda in the surah. Sajda meaning a prostration. Why is it that sometimes we hear a verse of the Quran and we're instructed to go straight into sujood? We're instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go straight into sujood, and you find the imam automatically says, Allahu Akbar, and we're gone down. There are a few reasons. The first is, whenever there is mention made of the proud and the arrogant who were told to prostrate and did not prostrate, we immediately fall prostrate to confirm that we are not from amongst them. Number one. Number two, whenever Allah makes mention of His pious worshippers and how they prostrated out of the love of Allah, we fall prostrate as well, hoping that Allah will count us from amongst them. Number three, whenever Allah makes mention of how the other creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have all gone down in prostration, we also prostrate. We are a creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number four, whenever Allah has instructed us to go down, we go down. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. So this is why in the Quran you find what is known as sujood tilawa. That sajda which is there, whilst you are reading, you put the Quran aside. and you make the sujood, the sajda. And the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is to do it immediately. That's the sunnah. Never ever did he delay it unnecessarily. He always immediately made that sajda. So if we want to know what the sunnah is, many people think that it's okay to leave all of them and do all of them at once at the end of the Quran. The truth is, the sunnah is otherwise. The sunnah is otherwise. The sunnah is to try and do it as soon as you read it, even if you put your Quran aside and you go down. That is the ideal. Because when you are instructed, you go down. Then we commence Surah Al-Ahzab. Inshallah, we will end it tomorrow. But I'd like to mention one point from Surah Al-Ahzab, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the allies. And He speaks about the gift of Allah in the battle of the trench, where the trench was dug around Madinah Munawwara, and the wind came and drove those allies away, though they were in large numbers, thinking that now we will just, you know, go straight through into Medina and wipe out these Muslimin. And Allah says, we helped you with armies that you could not see. The angels came down and we sent the wind and we sent so many other factors and so many other members of our armies. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says to all of us,
لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا.
Indeed, in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the person of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there is a beautiful example for everybody to emulate in every single aspect, for those who are intending, for those who have hope to arrive on the day of Qiyamah to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who remember Allah a lot. For all of us, the best example to emulate is that of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Every aspect of our lives, how we eat, how we drink, how we stand, how we sit, how we speak to one another, absolutely everything, how we walk, how we talk. And naturally, the sunnah includes that which is farad and that which is wajib. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam engaged in certain things that he never ever left. If he instructed us, or Allah has instructed us, it becomes compulsory, but it's also part of the sunnah. And if he has told us that it is extremely important but not an obligation, then it may be wajib or it may be a sunnah muakkada. Sunnah muakkada meaning a sunnah that is stressed. And if he has engaged in it without instructing us, then we will still emulate it as a sunnah, as part of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the true respect of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and to grant us the ability to fulfill whatever his teachings were, and to make us from those who can follow his path, and to take us in Jannah through the intercession of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Until we meet again, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallahi bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.